All right, the Lord is good. All right, let's start today by reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Or maybe first of all, let's start from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That would be a good one to start. We are still dealing with the basics of faith, faith basics. And it's important we understand what Christianity is about, what we are dealing with when we say we are believers. A lot of people think that what it means to be a Christian is that you go to church. They think that it's just a matter of the church you go to or the church you don't go to. That's not what Christianity has to deal with. It has to do with your whole life, your existence, where you came from, and where you are going, and how you are living the life right now on the earth. Even we preachers, we tend to unconsciously fall into that trap. We want to start using all kinds of things to attract people, and we claim that our church is growing. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Meanwhile, that's not what Christianity is. It's not church attendance. It's the transformation of the lives of people by the power of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And those of us who have believed truly, we must know exactly what we believe. All right. I told you some time ago, I decided to do a lot of study. I was reading all kinds of things from different kinds of religions, trying to find out exactly what they said and what made my own faith superior to theirs. Are you getting what I'm saying? That because I wanted to know exactly what I believed. And when I finished, believe me, I believed Christ some more. Because I discovered, after that I wrote an article which I called The Supremacy of Christ. And I discovered, in fact, I was listening to one man of God in my car. And he said that everywhere that people have truly sought after God, that it's God's responsibility to reveal truth to them. And I smiled to myself because a few years ago, I wrote that in an article. I said that everywhere that men have truly sought after God, God has always revealed himself to them so that nobody can come and say that, what about those who didn't hear the gospel? Listen to me. If they really wanted the truth, God would have sent them the gospel. If he needed to give them angels, visions, and revelations, God would have. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. So let's understand what we are really dealing with in our faith concerning our Christianity. All right, so now let's continue by reading from where I said we should open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I am going to read from verse 26. You remember we started talking about as part of our faith basics, we're talking about the hope, the believer's hope of victory. Where does your triumph in life come from? Where does your victory in life come from? And if you see, everything we have been discussing has to do with the person Jesus Christ. And I can't say it enough, because apparently we have not talked enough about his person. He said, if I'm lifted up, you know, there's a principle behind that. And though he was talking physically about his death and resurrection, but there's something about the lifting up of Christ Jesus that solves the problems of mankind. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. This is the solution to the problems of mankind. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that is, the things that are small, he has chosen them to nullify the things that are mighty, that no man should boast before him. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Please notice that, Christ Jesus. He said, for by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, what is the significance of that statement? What he was saying simply is this. If you read further down, you see him describing Jesus as the wisdom and the power of God. Now, what he was saying in effect, okay, so that's in verse 24. I jumped, I should have just gone back a few steps. Please, let's start from verse 22. He said, for indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Please, that's really what I was looking for. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, what we are preaching Christ is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. You see that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, and to us he has become wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, why did I read all of this? Well, I want to just use that one to review all the things that we said before concerning Christianity. Please, I want you to listen attentively. No matter how much you shout about God, 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 if the name Christ Jesus does not appear in your vocabulary, you don't understand anything yet. Anybody can shout God. Are you getting my point? Listen. What is the big thing about... I want to ask a question now. I can write a cookbook, right? Is it good to write a cookbook? Now, I'm not saying Pastor Bank should write a cookbook. I'm saying that if somebody writes a book on cooking, is it a good thing? So it's not bad. All right, good. So if I tell you how to make ogbono soup and edika ekong and onugu, all right, I'm doing you something good. I tell you how to make different kinds of ice creams. It's good. Is that okay? Well, let me ask you a question. Is that Christianity? It's not bad, but it's not Christianity. There's a reason why I'm emphasizing this. Because in this day and age, you know, I told you last time that I feel like talking about the 21st century dark ages. Before, we had the dark ages in which we did not have the Bible. And nobody could handle it except, you had to get the church authority to tell you what to say. And truth was scarce. The church was very political. We were a very powerful powerhouse on the earth, like the church of God on the earth. But truth was not found there. But this day, what do we have? We have a church that's no longer political like that, but has become prosperous. Before it was political power. Now it's financial power that we have. All right? It is a good thing, all right, that Christians prosper. I'm not saying it's not, all right? But you see something, around a lot of Christians are prosperous and churches have a lot of money. To every good thing in life, there is a danger. In fact, I wrote an article before on what I call the danger of prosperity. You can still find it on our website. There's a danger to everything. The Bible says concerning the fool, when he prospers, that's the beginning of his destruction. There is a danger to everything. When the church began to prosper, one of the things they forgot was the power of God. Are you getting my point? It's very crucial. That's why God said, I made you hungry so that you will understand certain issues, so that you will not forget the power of God before I fed you with manna. Please follow what I'm saying. As part of the problems, all right, that came to the church is that a lot of human wisdom is now being preached as the word of God. That's why I told you about cookbook. Somebody can write a book on something that is good, but that does not mean it is Christianity. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. We must be careful. I read all kinds of books. But the other day, I ordered a book from Yinka. I looked at the book. I said, this book, what am I going to gain from reading this book? I think I'll tell him to help me sell it again. It's a very good book on economics. I knew what was inside before I ordered it. It's not a Christian book. It's just a book. History is not Christian history. It's just history. All right? You can learn geography. You can learn economics. But please don't forget, that is not Christianity. A lot of things we practice, and I've been saying this again and again. I want to say it enough. The fact that something is sounding the realm of the spirit does not mean it is Christianity. The realm of the spirit is as real and as tangible as the physical realm. And since human beings are connected to both realms, we are connected to the realm of the spirit and we are connected to the physical realm. In the same, for that reason, we can decide to learn the laws of the realm of the spirit. It does not make us Christians. It does not even make us spiritual. It just makes us people that are learning another subject. If I was watching on Al Jazeera, the Curse of the Sands, they were talking about the mines that were planted by the Allied forces around the parts of Egypt, El Alamein and all of that. Those places, and that right now, many years after, they are still exploding and killing people and maiming people. And one man there, it was interesting. He said he had the foreknowledge of something like this was going to happen before, because his leg was blown up by one of the mines. All right, this is war that ended, almost 60 years ago. It was not more than 60 years ago, 1945 to now. It's quite some time. All right. So the mines are still killing people. That's why they're doing the documentary, The Curse of the Sands. It's on Al Jazeera. Now, the man said that the night before the thing happened, or 2 nights before it happened, because he stepped on the mine, he was grazing his cattle or plowing a field, and then the mine went off and then blew off his leg, all right? He said 2 nights or so before that happened, he dreamt that somebody poured hot tea poured for a table or something, and poured on that leg. And it was really, really painful. The following day, the leg blew up. I'm just letting you know that spiritual things are real. And human beings connect to the realm of the spirit. So you can decide to go and learn it. You can, I know I've been saying it again and again. So don't let people like Tuesday Lobs and Rangpa fool you. Don't let Grail Message entice you. You understand my point? Don't let Rosicrucians entice you. A Rosicrucian is just like a man who studied physics in another dimension. That's why they call it metaphysics. Because the forces are real. You can learn them. I read a book those days by Tuesday Lobs and Rangpa titled You Forever. Alright? I read it as a believer. A friend of mine was harassing me about the truth inside. So I said, okay, bring it. Let me read. I finished reading it. I told him that this is foolishness. What is the big deal? The man learned psychometry. How to read letters that are written in other languages by running his fingers over the surface of the pages. So after you have read it, what does it mean? Me, I'll give it to an interpreter. Read it for me and convert it to English. Doesn't mean you are powerful spiritually. It just means that instead of going to learn biology and agriculture, you decided to go and learn the things that control the invisible realm. It does not make you a Christian, and it does not make you a spiritual person. It just makes you a learned person in a particular field. Are you getting my point? So when you see the name God shouting everywhere, it doesn't mean the person is a believer. Because, listen, I need to say this again. We are talking about the person of Jesus Christ, because in him, that's where we have everything we have. It's only in Christ Jesus. Alright? A man is shouting, God. God created this universe. He created time. He created this dispensation. And in this dispensation, there's a way he communicates with people. If you go and read Hebrews chapter 1, he said there are two dispensations within this our existence now of God's communication with mankind. He said in former times he communicated through the prophets. And if I don't have time to go over it now, the prophets, there are some of them recorded in the Bible. Those are the ones that gave us the word of God that's documented about Christianity to come. But there were prophets that their words are not in the Bible. What I'm trying to say is that there were prophets who existed and talked to people. For example, Jethro. Are you getting my point? For example, Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. Like I'm telling you, look, you don't find his prophets in the Bible, apart from the ones he came to Naribody, because God did not commit to him the oracles of God concerning his plan to come. But men who wanted to talk to God, they went to Balaam. Those days. In the same manner, in Nigeria, what is Nigeria now? There were prophets here and there. He left himself what the Bible calls witnesses. That's why those days, I'm from the West in Nigeria. I can give a bit of the traditional history there. They had what they call, you and I call Babalawos now. All right? They were not bad people, all of them. They were good ones and they were bad ones. That's one dispensation. God spoke in diverse ways, in diverse manners to the fathers through those prophets. Jewish prophets, which we have in the Bible, and then local prophets here and there. But now said, in these last days, he has spoken only one way. Any Babalawo anywhere in Western Nigeria practicing today is a man that is out of date. Because his trade was good those days. I mean, the one is very fantastic. All the things, if you know the story about the Babalawos in the West and what they call them, Ifa priests, all right? They have their own psalms. You know what they call psalms in the Bible? They have their own psalms. They call it Odu Ifa. They don't just wake up and say what they like. People who study, who get bachelor's degrees in Yoruba language, that's what they study those things in school. So when you see that man wearing white, casting pellets and talking, he's not just speaking anything. He's speaking certain words that perform certain functions. If he wanted a tree to change his mind about the direction in which it is growing, he had codes to use to speak to the spirit behind the tree. I'm telling you, those men had what they were doing. And men still practice some of those things till today. But listen, I told you before, you know what makes error, error? Once you carry truth beyond its boundaries, it becomes error. I mean, think about it. Stargazing. We all say stargazing is bad. Yeah, fine. I'm not saying it is good. But who, the wise men that came to see Jesus, what were they gazing at? How did they know he was born? You think it's Holy Spirit? It wasn't Holy Spirit. They gazed at the stars, and the stars told them, yes, he's been born. And they said, let's go and look for him. But if you gaze out at the stars after you met him, you don't lose. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you are not lost. You can gaze at stars, nothing spoiled. But once you meet Jesus Christ, the stars just lost their illumination. So men were shouting God before now. That's what I'm going to say in all of these things. But in these days, God has spoken one way in his son, Jesus Christ. Please, and I always like to explain this to believers, because sometimes you encounter learned people and they confound you with their wisdom. An occultic man cannot come and talk to me and try to harass me. People have given me books. This is a great message, complete volume. Go and look at it. When I finish reading, I say, look, I'm not saying what the man wrote is totally wrong, but it's inferior knowledge. I don't know, you get my point? This, why should I leave what is good? You get my point? And then go down to that which, you know, it's like somebody, a child has malaria. I say, those days, our parents used to use this, the juice from this tree. He used to cure malaria. The doctor is not saying it's a lie. He's just saying that when you collect the juice from that tree, you drink about 17,000 different kinds of alkaloids, of which only two of them kill malaria. We have extracted those two and have chosen the best one of the two, and we have packaged them into tablets. So any man drinking one black juice because the great-grandfather used it to kill malaria is out of date. It's not because those things are evil. It's just that now, medical science did a lot of study. They learned that if you drink too much when you are too small, your ears will start singing. And for those of you who know, quinine makes ears sing. So they've graduated the dose. So it is not, you cannot now say, this is real medicine. You now present it to me and I'll be excited. What am I saying? I have something superior. I'm not saying yours is bad. I just have something superior. So when I read the great message story, I said, what is in all of this? A confused man is putting ignoramuses together and teaching them something small. I have light deeper than the one that he has. Why should I reject my better light and go for his candle when I have the son of righteousness? A man is offering me a candle. What are you talking about? If I see an opening mouth, say, listen, nobody enters those things out of excitement. It's out of need. Yes, they're looking for something. You are looking for power. You are looking for prosperity. You are looking for long life. Are you getting my point? So they learn, look, listen, I told you before, look, let me tell you something. Moses came, took a stick and threw it down and it turned to serpent. Egyptian looked at themselves and said, that one are class one. They bring me stick. The guy threw it up, blew at it, it didn't hit the floor, turned to serpent. Said, Moses, any other thing? That is, look, people were doing those things before Moses showed up. And that's what comes to a lot of people today. They do something small. You understand my point? I'm looking at an issue. A man joins a cult so he can learn how to turn leaf to money. No, I'm saying that's why they do it. And I'm explaining, I told that story to let you know it can be done. No, they're not being deceived, though. You see one of Balawo in the jungle doing concussions, collecting heads of snakes and animals and turning it, making a man rich. It's doable. It's doable. It's doable. Go to Egypt. They used to do it. Till today, if you are ready to make the necessary sacrifices, there are guys who can make you rich. The only thing is that it's called necessary sacrifices. Did you know what I said? Some of them are fables, all right? But they are based on truth. The story we used to hear when we were young. Is that sometimes they will go and tell you that, look, we can make you very rich, but you can only enjoy the money for 15 years. Every man has a record of how long he should live on the earth. So maybe God has ordained that in health and prosperity, this guy should make the 120. Right now, he's 30, and he's tired of being broke. So a man who understands spiritual mathematics and has invented, all right, computers and dynamos, you know what I mean, electrical gadgets of the spirit, we say, look, we can take your long life energy and convert it to financial energy. So say, from now till you die, you're supposed to live another 90 years. I can take 75 of that. It will come, because of the inefficiency of my machine, it will come to about 3.5 billion. I give you 3.5 billion to spend in 15 years. That's the best I can do. You now make your choice. A man joins the call to make money. Don't let him intimidate you. He paid something. There are some, they say, what's the value of your kidneys? All right, we'll sell your kidneys. It's spiritual. You chop money for 12 years. After that, your kidneys just pack up for no reason. You use... you take your kidney, take cook. You heard of people using their sons. Listen, those are not lies. They are not lies. If you decide that you want to go and learn how to do it, you can go to school. They will teach you. You don't have to be spiritual. I don't know whether you are following what I'm saying. This is what Christianity is. I have looked at it. Why did you join the cult? You wanted money. You wanted power. You wanted fame. And God said there was a time. See that, look, listen, you must understand something about God. All the quests of mankind, they are not new. The quest for power, God put it inside you. God never designed anybody, all right, to want to be weak. No, no, no. It's against godliness. Weakness is against godliness. What God preaches, all right, is that sometimes a man becomes weak that he might be strong indeed. Then where do you want your power? Do you want it amongst men, or you want power with God? So God looks at the man and says, your name is no longer Jacob. I make you the power of God. Power with God. Israel. That different. You can want your power anywhere. But that a man should not want power, no, that's not godliness. I'm looking at something. For a man to want prosperity is godly. God made it like that. For a man to wake up and want to be poor, sometimes it's a matter of sin and iniquity that removes his brain. Doesn't understand what's important in life. But what is godliness? I'll tell you what godliness is. Godliness is that, okay, good. How do we get it? Are you getting my point? They will say, shoot two people. That's what iniquity is called. A man wants to be rich. It is good. Jabez went to God and said, what is it? It's enough. God therefore made him rich. Is that not the truth? When God called Abraham, Abraham asked, what are you giving me? I don't know whether you get my point. And God, did God vex? There was no vexation. In the time of Abraham, if you look at it, what men wanted, it's not now. You know now, we are too many on the earth. Nobody's looking for a nation again. We just want house. I don't know whether I get the point. In the time of Abraham, to build house was not an issue. What men wanted was to become what? Nations. Go and check it. The prophecies of God is always he shall become a nation. No, go and read the scriptures. God will look at them. What's her name? Hagar. He said, don't worry, this boy will also become a great nation. I will bless you. You will be blessed. Your descendants will be, let me put no word now, nations. God always talked about nations because that's what men wanted to become. How many were there on the earth? Now you are thinking of buying a street. Then men didn't want streets. They wanted whole continents. So God looked at Abraham and said, come, I'm extending a great reward. And Abraham looked at him and said, you know, I don't have a child, so I cannot become a nation. So what are you planning to give me? So God said, don't worry, just watch me. You will indeed bear a son, and your son shall be great, and nations will come out of your bowel. Not one. Nations. That it will happen that men on the earth will be glad to be named by your name, and they will be nations. And Abraham says, is that so? God said, yeah. So, okay, what do you want? Follow me and be perfect. He said, no problem. I gave you Isaac, give him back to me. Abraham said, no problem. What I'm saying is that the desires of men's hearts, all right, they are not bad. They are not bad. What God always quarreled with is how. He said, enter those desires by the narrow gate. Because broad is the one that leads to destruction. Many men who walk through those ones, they will get what they want with destruction. But if you enter by the straight gate, the difficult gate, where that few people are patient enough to seek out and enter by, that's when you find life. enter by the gates of God into anything you want. There are different gates. There's a gate of God and there's a gate of the devil. There's a gate of the world. There are personal gates. He said, enter by the gate of God. That's what God is asking for. What do you want in life? You want to be powerful and rich? Fine, no problem. It's okay. I mean, that's just the way I made human beings to be. So what are you going to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, now, first thing you do, I strip you of every power you have right now. And if you say yes, then indeed, God will give you power beyond. Because sometimes when you're asking for things, it's within the limits of your imagination. Then God will give you the one that is beyond your imagination. Are you getting my point? What am I saying all of these things? So men joining all those cults and all of that, they are looking for things. They want power. They want protection. Believe me, outside there is dangerous. You are going on your way. Two people are fighting. They shoot each other. The bullet misses the guy and hits somebody else passing on the way. That's danger. The Bible talks about the habitations of cruelty. Human beings are wicked. Just wake up at night, go to a village where nobody offended you, and you kill everybody there. That's wickedness. Adolf Hitler just woke up and looked at a group of people, said, these are our enemies, and slaughtered 6 million of them, and he was not tired. That's wickedness. So men want protection, and it's right for you to want protection. Listen to me. Only a fool will not go to Babalawo when he doesn't have God. Listen to me. If I was not a believer, I would be an occultist. Life is too dangerous to just stand idle. I do like that. Look who. Life is dangerous. You join politics. You don't have protection. You will die. You either come to God to get it or bros, find the hardest Baba out there to help you. You hear people talk about ODH, that is, those things are the ODH, they are not lies. I have seen men who have witnessed those things. Those things are not lies. Let nobody fool you that it's imagination. It's not imagination. So listen to me. If you are going out in this world, you want to survive, you got to have protection. A lot of people who shout down, I don't have time for all those things. They are poor. Look, go and check it. They don't have anything. Nobody is chasing them. That is true. They are not going for any political office. He has one 1986 model Camry. That's the only worldly possession. Even thieves are not interested. Telling me I'm not interested. All these things don't bother me. Listen, my friend, it's because you are still small. When you are ready to go for big things, you will see trouble. I don't want to bore you with all the stories of operations of strange powers. I don't think it's black men. I've read testimonies of white people. Go and read John G. Lake's story. What he saw in South Africa. The guy went to America. Look at this America. He's never seen it. What he saw. The operations of satanic powers that he saw in South Africa. So if you're a girl walking around, bare chested, I see nothing to happen. You know the problem? You're not going anywhere in life. So nobody is troubling you. You're not troubling anybody. Or maybe you have been totally bound by the devil so that it is not troubling you any further. I'm telling you. But men who are shaking waters, believe me, they need protection. Men who want to wrest power away from wicked souls, they need protection. And that's what I'm telling you. You either pick it from Christ Jesus, or you go and take the cheap one that you can afford from all these tough babalawos out there. Because the weakest of God's power is tougher than the toughest of babalawos. What am I saying? I said all of this to let you understand the quest in the heart of men. And I'm explaining a principle that God, knowing this, he said, you are looking for protection, he packaged the protection and kept it. You are looking for prosperity without selling your soul for it, he said, no problem. He packaged prosperity and kept it. You are looking for fulfillment. You want to become nations. No problem. God packaged that thing called blessing and kept it there. He now said, who is worthy to take it? Nobody could take it. Men struggle and struggle and struggle. Then finally, we discussed this one last time. I don't want to go by it again. Jesus now came and took it. And you know how he did. By obedience of righteousness and then obedience unto the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him Now God now said that blessing has finished. You know, I said that last time. Protection has finished. I don't have again. When you go to go and cry, bless me. Cornelius cried, gave offering, did everything. Cornelius cried and cried and cried, help me now. God said, it has finished. So where is it? They said it's with Jesus Christ. So he called an angel, said, go and help that guy. The angel said, we have heard your prayer. We've been discussing in heaven for a while. But everything you are asking for, it don't finish. Cornelius said, yeg belew. Waiting guy go do now. I said, nothing spoil. It has actually become easier to attain. So how do I get it? Say, just wait here. Gather men, send them to Peter. Let them go and Peter will come and tell you where to find it. So the moment Peter arrived, Cornelius said, oh, well, thank God you have come. Oh yeah, what must we do? Can you see that? To be saved. That's what men keep asking. And the answer always is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. You don't need to go to any babalawo for protection anymore. Are you getting my point? You don't need to go anywhere. You don't need it. Whatever you want in life is in Christ Jesus. You don't need to cut off 75 years out of the 90 you have left so as to enjoy for only 15. You can enjoy for those 90 years in fulfillment with joy. Not because of your own life, but because Jesus gave up everything he had that you might have anything you might ever want. He said, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in that he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. So I will never kill my son to be rich in life. I will ask for riches and it is mine. I don't know whether you get my point. That's what God is saying. I won't sign any agreement with any joker to enter political office. If I want the seat, I will ask for it. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations, the hidden, as an inheritance. That's what we are preaching. Look, listen. We are the original babalawo. No, we are the real ones. No, these are the tough babalawos. I'm serious. This is not a joke. Regular babalawo should see us remove their pellets, everything, and bow and greet. Say, senior guy has come. Because he needs the man to sacrifice his son before he can be rich. I don't need that. I say, keep your son, keep your wife, keep your sanity, keep your long life, yet take riches and prosperity free of charge. It's called grace. The mistake a lot of us make as preachers is this. We don't understand grace anymore. Brother, a friend of mine sent me a text. A banker refute this statement. Because a big preacher said, supplies do not answer to prayer. They answer only to seed. I said, it's a lie. That Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, it includes money. I said, Jabez, how did he get money? James said, you have not because you ask not. I said, that statement is not a statement of grace. I'm not explaining that believers should be stingy, but I'm saying you don't prosper because of your money that you give. Around nonsense. If that was why you prospered, are you getting my point? Then it's no longer grace. It is your work. That is Esau principle. I labor. But look, I told you, look, spiritual labor is still labor. You get my point? Whether you are laboring physically or you're laboring in the realm of the spirit, the only labor that is good labor is to labor to enter into rest. And that labor, are you getting me, is a labor in which you relax totally. You are laboring so you can totally relax. And it's a labor of faith. And that's what I'm discussing for that today. It's a labor in which you take what God has given you and you accept it. So when I want prosperity, I don't say, okay, I give till I get it. No. I will go and say, in Christ Jesus. You know what we read just now? He said, Christ has become to us everything, salvation, redemption, and the power of God for prosperity. I'm adding that expression now. So what I need is just to, look, let me tell you something. I said before that everything is now in Christ Jesus. Just like Jacob needed to look in a particular way before he got the blessing. Did you notice that? The blessing that Jacob got from Isaac, he had to appear as if he was Esau. He had to smell like Esau. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's the way it is. It's a spiritual code there. What God gave to Jesus, if you want to partake of it, you must be like Jesus. That is why iniquity prevents us from inheriting what's our blessing. So Paul said, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Look, I've told you before, that's what sin is. Sin is not, hey, God will catch you and flog you. None. It's not like that. It is a boy, you won't look like the person you are supposed to look like. And if you don't look like a certain person, you cannot inherit a certain blessing. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I hope you've gotten my point. And that's what we're discussing. In Christ Jesus, everything. So, it's not just about shouting the name God, God. You must shout the name Christ. You must shout the name Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father to receive anything except they come through me. If they get there without me, they discover it has finished. The job of the believer is to soak himself, therefore, totally in Christ Jesus. Go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You see what I'm saying. The way Paul put it. Listen, life is dangerous, so you need protection. I mean, you need it. He said, verse 30, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He said that as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. What I'm bringing out there is the fact that you are in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I am in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ Jesus.
Listen to me, that's the protection you need in life. That's the connection you need. You see, when you talk about, nah, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not a lie. Are you getting my point? But this is the who to know. This is the who to know. This is the person to know, Christ Jesus. It makes all those operations that people say, get to know this person, get to know this person. It makes it irrelevant. I told you, you can't have the sun shining. Somebody be offering, you can't do. You see all these lights you have in Enugu? These powerful sodium lamps that shine bright yellow at night, making a lot of people forget to put on their lights. You know those lights? Very powerful. By 6 a.m., they are useless. The sun just winks more. That is no, small blinking from the sun. The lights are useless. Yesterday, I parked in front of this building. And then I looked up, I saw something yellow, like a coloring of yellow. I looked up, the lights were on. That is the only look like color of yellow painted on the lamp. There was no effect anywhere. So you see the babalawos and the courts people run to go and join. That sodium lamp shining in their darkness. But we have the sun of righteousness. You can't offer me anything, I'll take it. You want me to commit, sign agreement, bleed, sign covenants, because of light. When NEPA goes, bam, it dies. Hey! When I have access to that new Jerusalem that does not even need the sun, that the glory of God is the light. Ha! I won't join your cult. When you want to preach, tell people this truth. Stop making it look like God the vex. How can you be committing sin like this? You don't know God is getting angry. I told you, don't be angry with people. Feel sorry for them. No, you can be very angry. Look at this man. Angry. You'll be angry with him. Let me tell you, the son that sinned, he shall die. You're not lying. But you're not getting the point. Was it here I was telling the story? Or my friends and I were gisting somewhere. Maybe can you remind me about that Bini chief, that Bini prince? Was it here or were talking in somebody's house? Okay. Well, let me tell you briefly. About one man I met, a Bini prince. His father, either his father or his grandfather, was Oba of Bini at the time. I went for a full gospel meeting and he preached there. He said he had no problem with going to, with his wife and the children, anybody going to church. He didn't think he had any need for it. In the 70s, when Naira was exchanging for 175 kobo was exchanging for a dollar, he said, I had a million. Don't think he's one local man. He's a chartered accountant. This man who went to school in Britain of those days. He said, well, what is it that you are looking for? My God gave it to me too. His gods were shigidis. You know what they call shigidi? Rocks, you know, carvings that he poured blood on, you know, oil, stuff like that. Sacrifice a fowl periodically. Says there's one room in his house, nobody entered that room. Nobody. Nobody. There are things there that women don't touch. And so he had no problem. He was a grown man with grown children. I mean, he had children. He was a successful man. He said, except that one night, he woke up around 3 a.m. He knew somebody woke him up. His wife and children, they had been praying that it's enough. This cult is the way that our papa don't do. Don't do. So he woke up and he knew somebody woke him up. And he made a statement. He said, if you have been into the occult, you will know when powers bigger than you are commanding you. He said he couldn't resist. Whoever woke him up told him to get up. He got up. Dress up. He dressed up. He said, go into that your room. That his secret room. He entered there. He said, pack everything you have into bags. He packed everything like 2 or 3 bags. He said, put them into your car. 3 a.m. He hauled everything into the car. He said, start driving. To where? Just start driving. When they got to one bridge, crossing one river in Benin, he told him to stop there. He stopped. He said, haul everything to the water. I was hearing the man preach. He made a statement. He said, that I told you earlier, that if you have been into this thing, you know when you can resist and when you can't. He knew he couldn't resist. God had taken him over. I told you, this sodium lamp, tell men, these guys who are going to occult, you they buy torch, Chinese torch, we know they work safe. When you can have sun shining, you are buying torch. This man had been this thing for decades. He grew up in it. Either his father or his grandfather was the Oba of Benin. He's not a small man talking. In natural things. Not a small man. So that day, the power told him, haul everything into the waters. Alone, a man that had driver, he drove himself at 3 a.m. He mentioned the river, mentioned the bridge. Okay, it's been years ago, can't remember now. Threw everything inside. The spirit said, now you can go back home. He said, what shocked him most was that after that, he didn't know nothing again. He said, this is why I told the story. He said, he now prayed that you that did all of these things to me, I have no problem with what you have taken, but you have left me exposed. He said, for 6 months, he was there. He had nowhere. It was one day, finally, he don't know God. One day, God now took him to a church. Big, rich, multi-millionaire Benin prince. He sat on a bench. When boys were clapping, this is daddy. The Bible says the gospel is foolishness to Gentiles. If God didn't do that to him, you think he would ever go there? See, one small boy grabbed microphone and shouting, today, God is going to visit somebody. The man will look like this boy needs visitation himself. Oh, the Lord is good. What am I saying? All the powers he thought he had, it was candlelight when God began to shine. Without any struggle, who prayed him out of that? His wife and his children. He led them to go to church. Great mistake. When they prayed, God came to the house and said, oh boy, come, pack those things. Where I'm standing, you have no power. Listen to me. Let me just tell you something. Paul said, let us be diligent to enter. We have power bigger than all kinds of powers on the earth. And with a slack. With a struggle with unbeliever. Now borrow me candle. Can I use your torch? Ah, this is your brother's batteries, don't we go? You get tiger head for there. Ah! God said, labor to enter. I told you something, everything that God wanted to give mankind, everything that mankind has been begging for, God packaged it and Jesus took it. This is an interesting thing. These spiritual substances are actually substances. In the realm of the spirit, they can be poured. Are you getting my point? That's why the word oil is even often used in the Bible to describe spiritual matter. I remember one man, a prophet, describing a vision he had. A woman was begging God for healing. A man. So the man went to go and pray. And God told him, this guy is going to die, he won't be healed. No, somebody was sick, he went to go and pray. So, as he was praying, God said, this man will die, he won't be. He said, why not? He said, because I'm offering it to him. The next thing he knew was that he saw a vision. That's what I'm telling the story. And you see God offer him something, a small vial, like take. That's how spiritual things are. They are held like, in like containers. And listen to me, Jesus has all of them. They're in his bank. You can't get it from anywhere else. Nothing real can you get from anywhere else. This is the interesting part. When God wants to send it to the earth, he sends those spiritual substances as what? Words. So Jesus said, the word that I speak, no be letter. It is not ABCD. Oh, yeah, ABCD. It's not. It may sound like that, but actually, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. You know what it means? He said, the words that I speak, they carry the spiritual substance that imparts life wherever they get to. Therefore, anybody who wants to drink, you know, I say it's a substance, of that which the Father has given me, it pleased God that the fullness of Godhead should dwell bodily in Christ Jesus. Anyone who wants to drink of it, all right, must go to my word. He sent his word. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is how the take of my substance. That's why Bishop David Abioye said, activity is the killer of sensitivity. That Christians don't settle down, they love to run up and down. Jesus said, Abba, Martha, you are bothered by too many things when only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. It cannot be taken away from her. You want to drink of what God has for you? It is in his word. No matter how much I love you, no matter how anointed I am, I cannot pass it to you by the laying on of hands. I can't. I can use that one to stir you up to go and look for the real thing. You know, my wife and I were discussing. God gave me insight as I was meditating into things that happen in modern day Christianity. In Nigeria, that is the move of God. I mean, real move of God. How God poured his spirit onto, at least I know about campuses, all right? Young men those days were carrying the tangible spirit of God. They used to play with it. You know, I play with it. You've seen it before. A man would just, and forget, a lot of, these days we see a lot of jokers, all right? A lot of jokers who are just carrying the cardboard. You know, the glory has departed, but they want to stay there. Jesus has left the mountain. They are still building tabernacle there. Elijah has gone, Moses has gone, Jesus has gone to the cross, where through which he will get into other things. They are still there. That's what we see a lot of these days. Those days, literally, men used to play with the anointing. They can sit like they say, you, take it, throw it at you. As it hits you like a ball, you're on the floor. A man of God, my wife and I went to see, when he came to town, went to his hotel room to go and gist with him for a few hours. He said once he went to, was he in Aba or somewhere, it was laid down on one man. The next thing he knew was that it was only his shoes he could see. The guy came into the air and flew backwards. He left his shoes behind. This is the interesting part. Listen to me. At the end of the day, the man that you laid hands on that flew away, he will rise up in his problems. I'm telling you the truth. He didn't solve any problem for anybody, and God did not intend for you to solve any problem. It was a demonstration for all of you to know that there is real power in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? But then, I told my wife, after I analyzed everything, those days it was very common. I entered university as a thing, I think was in his peak or was beginning to win. Men used to do all kinds of things with anointing. Young boys, I don't mean old men. God forgot the old men. He sat on those young boys. Man could remove his jacket and say, hold it. As you try to hold it, you fall down and say, next person try to catch it, all of you. And it's become like play. A friend of mine told me about one man of God. If I mention his name, all of you will know him. He's come to their school. They were in secondary school. I think he was also in secondary school. Or he had entered university. And he would say, oh, we have seen people fall under the power too much. No matter when we lay hands, we are falling down. He said, why do they have to fall? Why can't they rise? And they begin to sing and praise God. Next thing you know, men are rising into the air. Those things are real. This is the interesting part. What did you do for anybody? Nothing. Nothing. I'm not saying that it wasn't real power of God. I'm just saying that God said, this is not what will deliver anybody. Paul said, when I wanted to offer you deliverance, I came to preach the gospel to you. It is the word of God that permanently delivers people. So after a while, all those operations, those playing in meetings died down. Some men still tried to wind it. When it didn't work, they started using techniques. In Jesus' name, they give you them. You're on the floor. Hallelujah, that's the power of God. It's not the power of God. You know why they didn't die down? Not because men became too unholy. That's not why. We used to think that people did not understand reverence, so he went away. No, God said, I use this one to let you know. This is called manna in the wilderness. Now enter and begin to sow and plant and reap. Are you getting my point? Now it's time to... Now you have known that these things are real. Now, take your Bible and begin to read. Take the word of God and begin to drink. Don't let activities becloud you. All the men in the occult, you know what they do? They know where their power is. If you ever watch this film, Agbaranla, that's a Yoruba film, called Ultimate Power. One of the most anointed and inspired movies Nigerians ever did. No, not even Ultimate Power, the one I want to describe. Good. Because in my mind, I said, this other one is just as anointed. It's called Ideshu, Bondage. Not Living in Bondage. This one is by Mount Zion. Bondage. In Yoruba, Ideshu. That is the bondage of Satan. These men entered to the court, three of them, to make money. The first level they entered, they had to go back regularly to eat sacrifices. They will go offer some sacrifice, eat it in a graveyard, and the money will keep flowing. Why did I tell that story? Believers, we do with the chop sacrifice. Yes, we eat. We eat. Men of the world be sacrificing fowl and making incantations. The hottest incantations are the biblical ones. Incantation that you whisper and devil will disappear. It is written, man shall not live by the devil will just disappear. you want to know incantation? This is the real incantation, no. This is the real incantation, no. You want to pour for, like we say it in Yoruba. This is the real one. When people tell you that you will see in this office, you say, why do the hidden rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Before you finish, one guy don't get my grade. I told you, Jeremiah began to prophesy. One man collapsed and died. The problem is that we are not eating our own sacrifices. That's the problem. We want the pastor to eat it for us. You bring your head. Ha-shagalalololo. It's a lie. Most of them, bobo. I'm sorry, I'm a preacher. Most of them, bobo. How many heads? Each man needs to get his own incantation with which he will face the challenges of life. When we want to pray, we pray in agreement. I believe in that. I can pray with people. I believe in that. We download power from above. Then usually what the power we download is a word. I'm telling you. The one you will download serious incantation. One word. There are words that kill presidents, make presidents, change nations, scatter conspiracies. Everything that God wanted to do for anybody is in Christ Jesus. And that's why he's called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh. That's what God does. The Word becomes flesh every day. Go on, Revelations. What was the name of Jesus Christ? The Word. That's his word. That's all. So everything we are describing is here. These dangerous times. Your incantation is Psalm 91. On Tuesday, if you come around next Tuesday, we are going through some incantation sessions. Yeah, it's incantation. You know what incantations are? They are prophetic utterances with which men control the things that happen in the realm of the spirit, and those ones affect the things that happen on the earth. When they tell you there's trouble, he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress and my refuge, my God in whom I will trust. Incantation. Let me tell you the truth. These incantations, they stop bullets also. remember the testimony of one brother, one guy I read in a magazine. So one day he was traveling down from Lagos, from Ibadan to Lagos. He had some business he was doing in Ibadan. He was based in Lagos. Rich young man was driving a very nice ride. So on the way, Christian man, he stopped on the express to give lift to somebody. So one young man carrying a bag. He said, okay. He said, no, he does that. So he gives somebody lift and they can share the word with the person in the process. So they are just there the journey. The young man pulled out a gun and told him to clear. So he cleared. The young man took him into the bush. Remove your clothes. He did. Kneel down there. He knelt down there. So the guy now said, look, I'm going to kill you. So at that point, he got angry. So he answered back, you can't kill me. I'm a child of the king. The guy said, you won't be the first. I don't know about the other people, but you cannot kill me. I am the child of the king. So the boy said, watch. Put his gun and fired. The gun jammed. Fired again. The gun jammed. He turned. Fired at the floor. The gun went off. Fired at the young man again. The gun jammed. I said, you decrease. Come on, come on, come on. Over there. Collected his glove. Walled the thing back. Said the boy began to tremble. Believe me, this incantation, it is a stop bullet. The problem we have is that we know they chop our own sacrifices. We know they chop them. We know they chop them. We offer, the Bible says that we have become soothsayers like the Philistines. We all gather, we waste. Hey, James is alarmed. The mouth of holy incantations is talking nonsense. This country is not going anywhere. This country is not going anywhere. All these politicians are very useless. They want to kill all of us. There are words that have never fallen by mistake from my mouth. Nobody's killing all of us. Who is us? Who is the us? We don't utter the real incantations. We waste. You know, our mouths are busy morning till night. We sacrifice unto Arsenal and Man U. Morning till night. We canalize who bought who from who. For how long? For how much? How many? You know, when you see football statistics, even me, I defer. So that is the first goal being scored by anybody that grew up in southern England for Arsenal in the last 75 years. How do you guys do this? You will hear that in the last 16 encounters, Man U has never scored a goal in the first 8 minutes against Southampton. I said, yeah. When you hear the analysis, my head, they do boing, boing, boing. Hey! And we'll sit down there and be drinking it. I am not saying they are evil, but they are not worthy in the times of trouble. They are not worth anything. We can't use those words to fight devils. They can't stop bullets. They can't stop diseases. They can't stop poverty. They can't. Some of the good things of life have become distractions to us. There are people here that God said they shouldn't watch TV for the next 6 months. Yeah, I'm telling you, as you did here, so one or two people, God said, look, I brought you here today to hear this word. Next 6 months, don't look television. Not because television is evil. It's not a devil's box like the deeper life we used to call it those days. It's not. But because it has ruined your ability to incantate properly. You know what I mean? You know? You know, I keep inventing new words. You can't say anything good anymore. All you see is CNN has corrupted your vision of life. Global warming. Your small car, you're afraid to drive, you call it global warming. When China man is building coal fire stations every day, they are driving a 1.3 liter engine Chinese car. To start it in the morning, they fear because of global warming. Too much television. The proper incantations are not in your mouth. Jesus never used the word, I resist you, devil. Did you ever hear him? That's a common, general, non-specific, useless incantation that we use. He used to give specific, because look, each incantation has its own use. When they say, turn this over to bread, nonsense temptation. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He was not saying that man must not eat bread. He was saying that there's no need to panic because of bread. If there's no bread, we speak the word and we live. So what's the problem? The devil rested. Bow to me, it is written. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God alone, and only him you will serve. How is it going? Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and only him you will serve. Anyway, you know the way the scripture went. Only him you worship, alright? What's the correct thing now, please? You know what I'm talking about. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God alone, only him you will serve. Yes, whichever way. The incantation is correct. I mean, specific words for specific occasions. And the beautiful thing, if you feed your heart with the word of God, eat the core. You know, I told you, eating sacrifice. We have to eat our sacrifices. These are our sacrifices. We chop it. The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. You wake up in the morning, you just see a glass of water in front of you. And say, all I have this morning is water. People are eating, people are drinking milk and yogurt. All I have is water. No. You are killing your ability to incantate properly. Learn my word, incantate. What's the correct incantation? We look at water. Father, I thank you. This is water. It's clean water. Lord, I give you thanks. Thanksgiving, you are eating the correct sacrifices with thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice of thanks. Go and read the scriptures. People used to eat sacrifices. They didn't used to throw it away. The priests, they will sacrifice unto God and chop the meat. So whichever sacrifice you are offering God, you are eating it. If it's sacrifice of thanksgiving, you are eating it. When you wake up in the morning, the other day I was looking at my children playing, looking at their picture. My wife looked and said, you feel like a blessed man. I said, yes, I'm a blessed man. And there's no day I don't give thanks for them. Father, I thank you for this boy. Thank you for this boy. Thank you for this girl. Thank you for this boy. Thank God. Sometimes my wife is sleeping. I could just thank God for her. She don't sleep. And my wife don't switch off like they don't switch off. So I will just be thanking God. There's no light. I remember the jerrycan of fuel. Father, I thank you. Fuel is available. And I know that this one is not going to warm the globe. Let global warming scare you. As you are doing that, my brother, you are eating what? Sacrifices. You are eating sacrifices. You are improving your ability to utter the proper incantations. When you say, Naira is about to be devalued against the dollar. There are different ways to respond. There's a way to respond and say, hey, what are we going to do? These are our leaders are useless. This Charles Soludo, what was wrong with him? He said this thing now. This Sanusi man, he's going to finish everything. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? That is what James said, is a mouth bringing forth bitter waters, rubbish waters. But there is one that says, the young lions can die of hunger. They can become thirsty. Anything can happen to them. Their truth can cut because grass has been devalued in the... Or is it hippopotamus that has been devalued? But those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. That's correct incantation. I hope you are following what I'm saying. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Everything in life, listen, Jesus is the word of God. The blessing of God. He's the wisdom of God. And anything promise you read in these scriptures, I was listening to RB theme in my car. He said there are 7,000 promises that believers are supposed to inherit during their existence on this earth, recorded in the scriptures. Are you getting my point? You can lose money. There are different ways to look at it. Hey, after have these 2 years to invest in this business, I can't believe mommy can be so wicked. You know, we didn't make anything. This world is horrible, it's horrible, it's horrible, it's horrible. Oh, another very common one. But what? You don't chase a woman for 2 years. You scratch and recharge card like an offering. At the end of 2 years, not only did she not marry you, she married a man poorer than you. Aye! You look. At different ways, investment to either in cash market or woman market, whichever one, is painful. But there's an incantation to handle that. The years that the locust ate. Are you getting my point? And the canker worm and the palmer worm, whatever it is, God will restore double unto me. Is there anything I lose? All right? He said, our temporal laws work for us what? A far exceedingly, oh my God, an eternal weight of glory. As long as we don't keep our eyes on that one which we lost, we look at the incantations which is the word of God. That's how we respond to the issues of life. Let me tell you something. Life is always making demands. You must say something. You can't keep quiet. You can't keep quiet. In this life, you must take it by force. I'm telling you, look, we are in a cult. You know the interesting part? The word mystery in the Bible that Paul talked about, all right? It was the word used to describe those who had entered the inner parts of cults. No, are you getting my point? No, when Paul was talking, explaining the fact that, look, that there's a mystery hidden. The word mystery are expounded only to those who had entered into secret cults. We're in a secret society. The only difference is our own secret society is open to everybody. That's the only difference. That's why anybody can come here and hear what we're saying. The problem, again, is that if you have not entered, you can't understand it. Those of us who have entered, we need to put energy into eating our own sacrifices. Men are killing goats. Our own sacrifice, all right? They are the most expensive, yet the cheapest. Because what the kind of sacrifice I eat? I read the Bible. What the kind of sacrifice I eat? I give thanks to the Lord. What the kind of sacrifice I eat? I make my prayers, my supplications with thanksgiving to the Lord. That's my sacrifice. It doesn't cost me anything. But why am I able to enter and offer those kind of sacrifices and eat them? Because Jesus paid the most expensive price possible on earth for anything. So the man has to pay 200 naira to buy a white fowl in the morning. I don't need that. All I need to do is put up two hands and give the Lord thanks. So, see, next time you see an occultist, tell him bow. Says, Senior Babalawo has showed up. No, that's a matter of fact. You know what Jesus said? He looked at all the cults of the earth. He said, of all the cults and the Babalawos therein, none has ever been as great as John the Baptist. didn't you read it in the Bible? Of all men born of women. Is that not what he said? Including the ones that were the chief priests of the hottest cults. Said none of them could incantate like John the Baptist. He said, but in the kingdom of God, the smallest of them, he will call John. John, come. How far? So you see, as I did so, the hottest Ogboni man in Nigeria should be cleaning my shoes. With gloved hands. His dirty hands must not touch them. He go buy glove. It's not pastor has come, his banky has come. There's a word of the pastor is one of my amongst believers. That is, I'm a teacher of the word of God. That's what it means. So don't think I'm a man of God. No! It is a child of God has come. A member of the original Jesus Christ fraternity. I hope you are getting my point. Don't let them scare you. Are you getting my point? But they are not my message. My message is you and your own sacrifices and your incantations. The believer's hope of victory. We also eat sacrifices. That's what I'm saying. The blood of animals can't take away sins. The kind of blood that we eat. You know what Jesus said? If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood. These are sacrifices. These are hot sacrifices. These things run in parallel. What those men are doing outside is just a shadow of what the real substance is. Which they have carried beyond the times and the boundaries that God allowed them to use them. We also eat the blood. We drink the blood and eat the flesh of Jesus Christ. The word of God. Say, I'm the bread from heaven. Are you getting my point? So, brethren, you cannot take the word of God lightly. That's your sacrifice to eat. Are you getting my point? The world is always offering you all kinds of foods. You know, there are all kinds of foods out there. There are foods made from stone, which Satan said Jesus should eat. There are breads cooked in heaven, which is Jesus that came in the flesh, which is what we are eating. What I mean by foods cooked out there, the predictions of man, they offer it to us every day. And we eat them a lot of times. And what you utter is based upon what you have eaten. Out of the abundance of the stomach, the mouth speaks. You are getting the way I'm writing this scripture so you can understand. When you go out and eat a lot of garbage, when you open your mouth, it's foul talk that will come out. You cannot utter incantations concerning those things that you have not eaten the sacrifices thereof. Believers, listen, you can't take the word of God lightly. In this modern day, that there's all kinds of gadgets, your phone can carry messages. No, you can't take it lightly. You must carry a book everywhere you go. You see, the problem we have is that all we ever read is, John Mason. I'm not saying it's a bad book, but it's not prophetic. It doesn't have any incantations therein. All we ever read are principles of effective business performance. They are not bad, but they don't have incantations inside. It's like my cookbook I was telling you about. I cannot be hungry now and bring out the cookbook. Thou shalt mix egg and whisk it for 5 minutes and shall put in 2 pounds of flour and then add 17 cubes of sugar. Will it bring food to my stomach? No, it won't. But the word of God can bring food to my stomach. Are you getting my point? So when God has brought the food, I can use my cookbook to cook it. But if I want to obtain food, I must eat the correct sacrifice, which is the word of God. Do you follow my point? I've heard Christians say before, I don't like to read. I said, you know, wisdom says it like this. He said, he that hates me sins loves death. Anybody doesn't give me attention sins against himself. He said, he that hates me loves death. You say, I don't like to read. You know what it means? I like to fail. I like the devil to take advantage of me. I don't like to read. It means I like ignorance. I like foolishness. I don't like words that I will use to fight when battles will come. There are those that dream one bad dream. They can't sleep again. Holy Ghost, fire. You know, there are times devil know I've gotten this one. Once you go into five hours prayer on it, he knows he got you. The ones that you wake up and utter one incantation and turn your back, he knows he's lost. A lot of prayers prayed out of fear. And we think it's out of faith. It's fear. I'm sorry, I like to chip this one in once in a while. A lot of preachers like us, you know, we like to use fear to collect something from you. We'll scare you properly. The devil knows when you have become afraid. Hey! You are sleeping. Your enemies are not sleeping, oh! And I'm a hate. I said, sinners are not supposed to sleep. In peace will I lay me down and sleep. Because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. The enemy that's not sleeping is his problem. He sinned. He should not sleep. There is no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. But some people think they're easy to make brethren pray. Ah, you are sleeping. Your enemies are right now sacrificing God against you. I wish you would sacrifice against me in my presence. Because I will add one scripture to it. It prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I will roast the goat. Hire one malam. Balangu. The Lord is good. Not like the devil set us on errands, you know what I mean? You know? One day, just to end with this gist. One day, a man said, the devil caught him in a room. And he went into his 3 hours prayer or something, 1 hour prayer against the devil. Until the Holy Spirit finally managed to get across to him and said, speak the word. Now they're speaking some weak scriptures. You know, there are different powers. And the devil said, okay, I will leave you first. But I like that testimony of Smith Wigglesworth, who heard physically also. He heard noise in the sitting room and he came out and he saw it was the devil. And he said, oh, I thought it was something that needed my attention. And he went back to sleep. That's disgrace. When they treat you like that, it means you're not just the important at all. Disgrace. Another man, I heard what he, I don't know how it really happened, but somebody was telling me the story. But this is a very nice way to explain this. He said, he came out, the sitting room was scattered. He said, this must be the work of the devil. He said, devil, come here, rearrange it, I'm going to sleep. Every piece of paper must be where you met it. Then went back in to go and sleep. as when you have eaten real burnt offering. A real sacrifice. As when you behave like that. I hope you learned something today.
Yes.
Let's bow down our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for the power that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you because I'm a member of this cult. You know what I mean now? When we use the word cult, we are the real Ogboni. And the Ogbo of the Ogbonis. These are the real ones. The thickest of them. We have entered into the inner caucus. The inner cause of where the deepest mysteries are discussed as believers in Christ Jesus. Next time I'll talk about it further.